News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
35 days to go until Election Day, and if just the last 24 hours are any indication, a whole lot can change in the world in 35 days. On today's Countdown 2024, we're going to preview tonight's vice presidential candidates debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance with a couple of seasoned political experts. And we will continue our look at the most competitive House races in Southern California, talking with longtime Republican Congressman Ken Calvert, who's facing a serious challenge to his incumbency. But first, what's happening in the political world?
Well, Iran launched a barrage of ballistic missiles at Israel in retaliation for Israel's aggressive campaign to take out Iran's proxy militia Hezbollah in Lebanon. Israel is almost certain to respond in a big way. From the candidates themselves, Vice President Kamala Harris said she was monitoring and responding to the Iranian attack alongside President Joe Biden. From the White House Situation Room, former President Donald Trump immediately injected politics into the situation, arguing that, quote, none of this happened while I was president, a claim that is open to dispute.
There is some new polling out today from a trio of battleground states, all of them once again showing a very tight race between Trump and Harris. Quinnipiac did polling in Georgia and North Carolina with good news for Trump. In Georgia, the former president's lead is a surprising 6 points, while in North Carolina, Trump is up on Harris by 2 points. AARP released a poll of Pennsylvania this morning with better news for the vice president. Harris leads Trump there by 2 points.
A major strike by dock workers in the Longshoremen's Union shutting down ports along the East and Gulf coasts. And there could be a political angle to this labor action. A prolonged strike could have immediate negative impacts on the economy. And while President Biden has initially signaled his sympathies for the dock workers, he could face pressure to order the longshoremen back to work. This could put both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in pretty awkward situations. For Harris, she's going to have to make a tough decision on labor support versus the strength of the economy. As for Trump, there are extensive and well-documented ties between him and the head of the Longshoremen's Union.
Tonight's clash between vice presidential candidates Tim Walz and J.D. Vance will likely be the last direct confrontation between the two campaigns before Election Day. While there will certainly be a stark contrast in style between the two men, how much impact will a VP debate have on the broader race? Here to help us preview it all is A.B. Stoddard, who is an editor and columnist at The Bulwark, and Ryan Wiggins. She is chief of staff for the Lincoln Project. A.B., let me start with you. For the most part, vice presidents don't do a whole lot of stuff. Some do, but most don't. And for the most part, most people don't care that much about who's on the ticket. They vote for the person at the top. Is tonight different? Is the debate therefore different?
You know, I tend to think that this debate is not going to make a big difference. If we look at the polls, even though it was sort of universally accepted that Harris won her debate against Trump, it didn't seem to matter much. So I can't imagine this debate making a difference politically. There might be people who are still deciding, who are looking at Donald Trump, who is getting older, and he's acting older, and will swoop into this debate to take a look at his running mate to see who would become president in the event of maybe a health event. So maybe that is a different factor, but I don't think the outcome of tonight is going to end up making a lot of difference.
Ryan, kind of piggybacking off of what AB was just talking about the fact that Donald Trump is getting older and people who may be tuning in may be looking to J.D. Vance to see what comes out of him, what they get from him. Do you see that playing a different role and making this a little bit more important?
The vice presidential candidate and the role they really serve on the ballot is to kind of balance the candidate, right? So, I mean, when they picked J.D. Vance, Trump was looking for someone who could maybe be, I mean, when Pence was his VP, he wanted someone who wasn't going to outshine him, who wasn't going to threaten his power. or anything like that. I think that you see the same thing with J.D. Vance. You saw him in, you know, a populist state. But I think that J.D. Vance has done nothing but hurt that ticket. And that is the number one rule of a vice presidential nominee, is to do no harm. I think he's done a great deal of harm to that ticket. I'm thrilled with it because it's just highlighting how crazy the Republican Party has become. But I don't think I do agree with AB that I don't think that this makes that big of a difference. People who are watching this debate tonight are people who have interest in this and most likely have already made their decisions. So this isn't going to move anybody. This is more confirmation bias tonight.
AB, let's take a look a little bit at what both of these gentlemen need to accomplish tonight, other than both, I suppose, showing that they're not, to paraphrase Walls, weird. What does each one have to accomplish?
Well, I think if you're J.D. Vance, you want to put, both of them want to put each other on the defensive about their principle and their policies, about Trump and Harris. That's really the point of these debates for those candidates for VP. And so you don't, if you're Tim Walz, you don't want to talk about why you weren't actually in China for Tiananmen Square. You went there 2 months later. If you're J.D. Vance, you want to talk about the contemptuous comments you've made about women in your career that are all recorded on podcasts and have gone all over the internet. So you want to keep it on the principle. I think for Vance, he's going to do a good job and a smooth job. He's going to have to come off as more likable because his favorability ratings are a disaster. And I think he is just a very off-putting candidate. So if he can bring some charm, that would maybe help him. Tim Walz is not a great debater. He's admitted that. He's going to want to look like he can govern. And as a governor, I'm sure he'll make a good case that he could, you know, he's going to be a good vice president, but he's going to want to sell the agenda and the sort of page-turning candidacy of Harris. And I think those are probably the goals for both of them. Vance is always speaking to Trump through the camera, but he does a pretty good job of that. As long as he picks on Tim Walz about the border a few times, Trump will be happy.
So we are speaking with A.B. Stoddard, an editor and columnist at The Bulwark, and Ryan Wiggins, chief of staff for the Lincoln Project, previewing tonight's vice presidential debate. Ryan, I want to ask you, I mean, the moderators, unlike the last presidential debate, will not be fact-checking tonight. So it is essentially up to Walz and Vance to fact-check one another?
That's kind of what I'm understanding, too. I mean, you know, the thing is, though, is I think, to what AB was saying, it's going to be more important for them to be getting their messaging out than it's going to be fact-checking. Yes, it would be a big misstep of Tim Walz to not bring up all of the things that J.D. Vance has said about women and about abortion and about women's rights and women's roles and women who are postmenopausal. It's like every woman in this country is like, what, would you please stop obsessing over us? So, I mean, I think that, you know, that is... It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out tonight. I do believe that it'll be a good show. I mean, like I said, I think that they have to stick to their messages. I think that it's going to be kind of concerning for J.D. Vance that Donald Trump has said he is going to be live tweeting the entire thing. I think if I were J.D. and I had been called out from the stage by my boss at one point, I think I would be very careful on what I said on the stage. So it's just going to be interesting to see how nerves play in here. It's going to be interesting to see how likability plays in here. I mean, Walz may not be as good of a debater as J.D. Vance maybe will be, but he's way more likable. He's more relatable. He's somebody that America can see themselves sitting down and talking to. And J.D. Vance has not done that. He's come across as exactly that, weird. So it's going to be interesting. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah. And AB, on that thought pattern of likability, you know, there was some recent polling that showed Walz really viewed more favorably than Vance, particularly among like Midwestern voters. More people felt the words honest and trustworthy described Walz than Vance. Can Vance shift that perception about himself tonight?
I think it'll be hard because it's just kind of his way. He has a very smug quality, and he gets prickly and defensive. Although like I said before, I think he's smooth. I mean, I think he's a trained lawyer and will be a good debater. But it would help him if he could bring some charm. I've just never seen him do it. And I do think the point about likability is important. I think some voters who are coming to this, and Ryan said most people who are coming are people who are just politically engaged and sort of want to watch this. And that's probably true. But I think if people come to it and they're undecided, they're looking for a gut check at this point. They're probably not listening to policy details, and they want to know that that people are normal. And I do think that if Waltz remains likable, that will help Waltz and Harris. If Vance can just come off a little more warmly, like I said, that might help him. I don't know that it undoes the damage that he's done to himself and his favorability numbers. But if I were Vance, that would be my goal tonight.
All right. A.B. Stoddard, editor and columnist at The Bulwark, and Ryan Wiggins, chief of staff for the Lincoln Project. KNX News, by the way, is bringing you the Walls-Vance debate live tonight. Our special coverage begins at 5:45, and the debate itself gets underway at 6 when Countdown 2024 continues. A Riverside County Republican is fighting to keep his congressional seat.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Thank you for sticking with us. Along with Charles Feldman, I am Margaret Carrero. We are looking at some of the most competitive House races in Southern California, races that will likely determine whether Congress will be controlled by Democrats or Republicans over the next 2 years. There are a trio of incumbent Republicans who are facing some pretty tough battles. We're hearing from those candidates all week here on Countdown 2024.
Ken Calvert is California's longest serving Republican elected official. He's been representing the Riverside County area in Congress since 1993. Calvert is trying to hold on to his seat in the 41st congressional district against Democrat Will Rollins in a race that, according to recent polls, is virtually tied. The race is also turning into one of the most expensive House campaigns in the entire country. Congressman Ken Calvert joins us now. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you.
So you've been there, as we said, since 1993, which is quite an accomplishment. But do you think that this race is apparently a virtual tie because maybe people want to change?
Well, no, I think that they're not weighing the western end of the district relative to the new part of the district properly. But nevertheless, it'll be a close election, I have no doubt. And I have no doubt, too, that I'll be outspent. I was outspent last election, and I've been outspent before. But I know the district pretty well and represented it for some time, and look forward to representing it for another 2 years.
You say you know the district well. Do you have any concerns, though, leading up to Election Day, given that there's nearly an even split when it comes to voter registration with just a slight edge for the Republicans?
Well, as you probably know, we were 3,500 down in registration in the last time, in the midterms, and now we're 3,500 up. So that's a swing of a delta of 7,000 votes, and we won by 11,000. So I feel pretty good about that, and I feel good about the campaign. We've been out there. Now that I'm back home, I'm getting out throughout the district, and we've had great reception, and we'll feel that we're going to prevail in November.
I'm sure you've done a lot for your district since 1993, Congressman, but if you're reelected, what would you do in the next 2 years that you haven't done thus far?
Well, I probably have brought more resources back to this congressional district than any member of Congress, even for California, you know, whether it's the shake alert system to predict earthquakes or for freeways or for water projects throughout the state of California. As a senior appropriator in the state, I'm proud to help and bring back, since we are the largest taxpaying state in the union, to bring back some of those resources for infrastructure development that's positive infrastructure for the communities and for the state of California.
Your Democratic challenger, Will Rollins, has said that he hopes the House Ethics Committee launches a formal investigation into what he called your self-dealing. He's accused you of lining your own pockets, essentially, with earmarks. Your response to that?
That's ridiculous. Those claims have been cast against me over the years, and they've been proven incorrect. The Ethics Committee cleared me some time ago, but they make those claims in order to attack me personally, in order to divert themselves from the issues that are important to the people of the 41st Congressional District. So those claims are ridiculous.
You've been there, as we've said, for quite some time. Considering the atmosphere in Washington, why do you want to still be there?
Well, that's a great question, because I still think I can accomplish a lot for the people out here in the 41st Congressional District, the folks here in Riverside County. This inflation's killing them. You know, this price of gasoline, we probably are the largest commuter district and probably the state, maybe one of the largest commuter districts in the country. And, you know, people paying what they're paying for gasoline. I paid $4.75 the other day to fill up my tank. And I was in Texas last week, and it was $2.67. You know, that's, you know, over $2 a gallon. That means a lot to the people out here in the Inland Empire. You know, unlike my opponent who lives in Hermosa Beach, people here in the Inland Empire, they have to struggle. They're middle-class folks.
Why does it seem like it is just so difficult for the two sides to come together to get stuff done in Congress?
Well, you had the growth of extremities on both sides, and so the middle has shrunk, quite frankly, and it's harder to come to a consensus. As an appropriator, I must come to consensus, because you can't pass appropriation bills without a consensus of both Republicans and Democrats, both in the House and in the Senate. And I chair the largest appropriations subcommittee, the Defense Appropriations Committee. My committee's involved in funding all the military services and all the intelligence services. And so it's traditionally a very bipartisan, nonpartisan committee. I have a good working relationship with my ranking member. And we try to get things done for our American service members and make sure we have a strong national defense.
Veteran Republican Congressman Ken Calvert sticking with us to finish off today's edition of Countdown 2024 next.
And welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
Republican Congressman Ken Calvert from Riverside County's 41st Congressional District remains with us to finish out today's show.
Congressman, since the debate, the vice presidential debate, happens tonight, I am kind of interested, since you've been in Congress for so long, what do you think of the Trump era in politics?
Well, Donald Trump is somewhat of a controversial figure, but he's a strong figure in the sense that he understands the economy. And I think that's the issue that's before the voters this year. That's the issue that every polling, in just virtually every congressional district in the country.
Do you like him?
I get along pretty well with President Trump. We're both business people. I kind of understand him. Obviously, it's a complex relationship, but I get along with him fine. And at the end of the day, he does the right thing. I mean, as far as the economy is concerned, about national security, the things that are important to the people who reside in the state and in the country. So I fully expect he will win the White House again.
Well, what about, he has this tendency or at least some would see it as kind of stoking flames of fear. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, everybody has their own style of doing things, and he's probably had that style since he was a media sensation back a long time ago. But as president of the United States, when it comes to the issues that are important to the people, that's the economy, of keeping taxes low. We want an extension of his tax cuts that he passed, and along with the help of Congress. My opponent's not interested in doing that. That would be a $3,600 tax increase. And not having a carbon tax on gasoline, which my opponent's in favor of, that would increase gas even by another 90 cents a gallon. Those types of things that he understands. He understands the economy and that people can't afford this.
Let me take a shot at this quick question. Do you have a different opinion of Trump in public than you do in private?
You know, my private relationship with him is very good. He can be a very funny guy, very charismatic individual. I think one-on-one, he does much better than sometimes he does in large groups. I think he's different to be around when you meet with him privately. I enjoy him. I've never said otherwise than that. And, I know it's, he says some things sometimes that I wish he wouldn't. but uh, but that's his personality. I don't think he's going to change.
All right. Republican Congressman Ken Calvert from Riverside County, thank you for your time.
And by the way, again, KNX News is bringing you the Walls-Vance debate live tonight. Special coverage, our special coverage, begins 5:45. The debate itself gets underway at 6. And remember, we are here every afternoon, 2:30 through Election Day. And if you miss the show, catch up with it on our normal replay at 8, but just not tonight. And on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.